Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
It's 42 seconds after the hour, 42 seconds after the hour of noon, and this, the month of June. Spoon moon, blah, blah, blah. The year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Extravaganza, an excursion into whimsicality. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It is Thursday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well, my well-scrubbed companions. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. You can go to 970.am, by the way, and see all the updated FAQ. For Horns Across the Hawthorne, we're now 5 short days away. I don't have it in front of me now. I have a thing posted on my website. Let me look. Hold on.
It'll be the event of this year's Rose Festival, which gets underway today. Now, you probably don't see it in the official program, but that's their problem.
This is bigger than their program could contain. Their mere puny mortal program. Their printed papyrus cannot contain this event. Is the Rose Festival, is it actually today?
It begins today. Beautiful rainy day.
What are they doing today?
Oh, people are just walking around saying this is the Rose Festival.
All right.
Well, I would imagine there are people crawling around the tents on the waterfront and so forth. And the boats will be here before then.
You can tell it's a Rose Festival, by the way, because I was going down the highway last night and you see those huge flatbed trucks filled with leaky, rusted carnival equipment. Just days away from snapping. I'm reading this from the website right now. We got to... Rick, those of us who can't leave Seattle for the event are going to be meeting somewhere here for our own photo. I'm looking to do a Horns Across Pike Place, Horns Across the Needle, he says. How about this? Rick, I'm in Michigan. Otherwise, I'd be completely there. I'm going to be trying to do something here in Michigan. How about this, Rick? Wanted to let you know that I will be the master of ceremonies at the Rick Emerson Army Horns Across the Gila, which I believe is a bridge in the fine state of New Mexico. You have a multitude of loyal fans here in New Mexico. There you go. And we wanted to show our support. I will be sending pictures. You are all awesome. Give the best to the lovely Sarah X. Dillon and Tim Riley.
Oh, thank you.
It's 503-733-2970. 5 days away from Horns Across the Hobbit. And here's the thing about that. Is that we were apparently on Fox News last night. Fox 12. Not Fox News. Seems unlikely that the Fox News Network would be covering this event. Except the catalog of yet another mile marker on the road to societal hell. Fox 12 last night apparently did something about this. And I didn't even know. I didn't know until my phone started ringing. It's like you answered, you know, the perils of answering the phone sort of, you know, past 11 o'clock or so were well documented. My phone started ringing last night, and I picked it up. You're on the news! And I, what news? You're on Fox 12! Go watch it! And I missed the story. I never saw it, so I missed Sarah's thing on coin. And then I missed it. This is like the fifth time inside of a month that we've been on the evening news or something. So we'll talk more about that. Coming up later on today, we have a penis watch coming up. Whereas Mr. Garrison would say penis watch, we have Democracy on the March. Geek Watch coming up today. That guy, Vernon Robinson, with the nutcase political, the campaign ad we played yesterday, which is all about how, same thing it's always about. It's about the gays and the people who don't look like you and the people with swarthy skin and complexions who speak languages that you don't understand, God-fearing white person. He's got another campaign ad, and they're real. I got people emailing me yesterday that thought that we'd made it up. It was some sort of a gag or a goof.
It is,
but only unintentionally so. So we have yet another campaign ad. Our good friend Steven emailed this to us. Another campaign ad from Vernon Robinson. We have It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. We have both a top 5 and a top 50 today, and here's what I mean by that. Can I just say this, by the way, about the top 5s and top 10s and top whatevers? Yesterday we did the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay. It is not coincidental, probably. Those are 10 fantastic songs. I just want to do that list every day. I want to do that top 10 over and over and over again. But that was a fantastic collection of songs we had yesterday. Today we will be doing the top 5 Led Zeppelin guitar intros of all time. There was all this discord and unpleasantness when we did the Rolling Stones one. So we try to do one that's a little more socially acceptable to everyone. I think it's the top 5 everyone can agree on today. So we will be doing the top 5 Led Zeppelin guitar intros. But then Tim gave me this crazy story. I'm just going to read you the first sentence here, and we'll get to it later. National Review, universally known for their taste in rock and roll, they've compiled a list of the top 50 conservative rock songs. See, they're not just Republicans at the National Review there. They're rock and roll Republicans, as Talkers Magazine would say about Jay Severin, incorrectly. In any event. So we'll get to that. And I'm not going to play them all for you because A, there's 50 of them. Anyway, so we will be talking about that. Top 50 conservative rock songs. What else? Well, that's it. That's not it, but what else am I going to... There's no time. No time. Big grains of salt. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Be stopping later on today. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and skullduggerous Sarah X. Dillon, who you cross at your own peril. All right, so the woman who... the person... Well, whatever.
Yeah,
half the
woman.
Population. The woman who allegedly hit your car.
Now I wish she was dead.
Well, there's time. Prison's not a place. If you're soft, prison's not the place for you.
Ask Martha Stewart.
Well, I think it doesn't really matter now because I have her insurance and I filed my claim and stuff.
And her address.
And her phone number.
We could go by and settle things ourselves. Not that we would do that, but we know people. I don't really know people, but we could probably find people. All right.
Yeah, it's amazing how word spreads about that. I went out up on Hawthorne.
And people just backed away from you in fear. Don't have me arrested!
Just everyone knew that girl had been caught.
That's what I'm talking about.
It was pretty cool.
The traffic stopped.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit, you old hag!
I have to wait a while for justice, though.
Yeah, well,
justice will prevail.
The wheels of justice grind slowly, but efficiently.
Ask Kenneth Lay.
I'm guessing that there's a shiving in her future. That's just my speculation. I'm not advocating that. Just as a journalist.
But now I've got to decide whether or not I want to go to her court date or not.
Yes, hell yes. Yeah.
I want to go.
I'll go too. Now, yeah,
let's
please,
all take the day off.
When is it?
Yeah.
You guys want to go?
When
yes.
Is it?
When
it's
is
on
it?
June 28th.
Is that what is it? Do we know what June 28th is?
It doesn't matter. We'll be there.
Well, there's a calendar right behind you, sir. On the wall. What is June 28th?
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
And it's in the morning, so we could make
what
it
time?
Before the show.
Where at?
At some courthouse.
But in the city?
Yeah.
All right, I'm there. Well, the courthouse is right on the street.
Oh, yeah.
The court is like a block away. We're there. I'm taking popcorn.
Let's have a listener party.
I mean, no, I'm trying to... No.
Listener party 10.
I want to go in disguise so she doesn't know what I look like.
You're on television and also a radio program, and plus you've been talking about it every day for 4 days.
Okay.
That ship has sailed. That time, it's past.
Bring publicity.
Yeah. All right, I'm
She's
there.
Played into your hand.
It was all a cunning plan. Well, okay.
All right, I'm marking it on the calendar right now.
We'll be there.
All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
Just in time for the Rose Festival, cars, furniture, and sex for sale on Portland's Craigslist.
No!
Yes.
No!
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the World Wide Web.
I'm horrified.
The Dixie Chicks remain unrepentant as they score number one without the help of country music radio.
Yeah.
Editor Cole Smith confirms, yes, she is pregnant. A 16-year-old boy gets a Mercedes, and a 39-year-old woman faces sex charges.
It's the best day ever. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, it should be noted, this is according to blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. I get a lot of these V-text. Is that Verizon? Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, Sarah Dillon. Here's the thing I don't understand. I've had my phone forever. If I want to email something to your phone, I know I sound old, but what are you going to do? I can text. I know how to do that. But if I'm at a computer and I want to send a text message to your phone, is it just your phone number at vtext.com?
I think it's at verizonwireless.com.
Well, what is vtext.com?
I have no idea. I've never done that.
Because sometimes
I've received emails from phones, but not vice versa.
There are times when I don't have my phone, but I want to find you, and I know that you know, and I just want to send you a text about something. I never had to do it. Anyway, well, whatever. The point is, when I get this, I get these text messages during the show, and I can never properly credit whoever it is because there's no name. Apparently, and I don't doubt that this is true, Bill O'Reilly apparently went on and on and on about how no one was going to buy the new Dixie Chicks album and they'd go away. Bada bing! All right. It's 503-733-2970. I also want to thank everybody, and there were multitudes of people who talked about this spelling. Apparently, everybody has got a spelling, but we're not going to go on and on about it today. But apparently, everybody has a... I was in a meeting this morning. Go in, sit down. People on both sides of me, at once, they both said, oh, let me tell you the word that I didn't... And everybody wants to share the word, and everybody remembers. A good friend of ours, who I will not name, misspelled... what was it? It was... like the simplest word on earth. It was something like, you know...
Trophy?
It really was like that. It was something like, you know, like sofa. You know, just something ridiculous. And it was like in she was fourth grade. Remembers it to this day. Remembers the name of the person who got it right. Susan Reynolds, of course, never gets anything wrong because she's the smartest person anybody knows. So, I'm going to point that out like 9 times during the meeting. I get them all right. Just saying.
That's because this is the show that's all about you.
That's okay. Well, let's do this, kids. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Jim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, you may have used it to sell furniture or rent your house, but police say Craigslist, the Portland version, is also becoming a popular place to sell...
No! I can't believe it. I'm horrified. I'm not that horrified.
For instance, take 34-year-old Irene Nair, arrested at the Beaverton Budget Inn for prostitution.
Nothing like having sex with a woman named Irene at the Beaverton Budget Inn.
Well, actually, she had used, even before this...
Uh-huh.
Before she got too much business, apparently, allegedly.
Before they started overwhelming the Beaverton Budget Inn.
She used to invite Johns to come to her attractive tract home in Aloha.
Jesus God. How ugly can your wife be? Mm-hmm. Seriously. Get drunk. Put on a blindfold. Don't go to Aloha.
Well, a look at Craigslist erotic section shows Nair is not the only person using the site this way.
Isn't Nair a hair removal product?
It is. Does she have hair?
Not very much. All right.
People doing this type of act are willing to post pictures on the net describing details of what they do. These are opportunities for customers or jobs to leave feedback on the services they have received.
God forbid.
Say the authorities.
Look. Okay.
What do they think they're accomplishing? So they're sending people to Craigslist to now get sex because they can't do anything about
everybody
it.
Well, over to Craigslist.
Everyone go now. Everyone into the pool. Look.
After you buy that Dixie Chicks album.
Here. We've gone back and forth and back and forth. We've jumped both sides of the fence on this. But on Monday, we were talking about how the man. And when I say the man, again, I always feel it is incumbent upon us to point out that we are not the... I respect the thin blue line. We are not anti-cop on this show. But there's a difference between a guy who's out there in the car riding around, guy who's on the beat, and then sort of the greater police establishment. So when I say the man, I mean the man with the plan who keeps, you know, keeps a brother down. I'm talking about what is it Eisenhower called the military-industrial police complex?
Yes.
So on Monday, we were talking about Sarah had this whole thing where somebody slammed into her car. Nobody done anything. They hadn't even taken the report, hadn't taken the information, which, by the way, uncorked an endless series of stories from people who had the same thing happen. Guy comes by, sets fire to the car, runs away, and nobody does anything about it. Yesterday, we were talking about how they, you know, miraculously enough, following a big story about it on Coin, that they had actually solved it. Now, today... I mean, because you know that every hour they are spending arresting some fat, homely guy for patronizing a hooker somewhere in Tigard is like an hour that they're not busy evicting the guy who's, over there brewing meth and kicking his poodle out of his window at his, the apartment building next door. So, you know, what are you going to do? It's everything gets used to sell sex. That's what it is. It doesn't matter. Any new technology will be eventually used for two things. Guys who get laid, and then guys for to blow up small alien-type creatures in a first-person perspective shooting game. That's what all technology is for. There have been studies on this, that the two things that drive technological advancements are video games and pornography or anything relating to sex. And you're just gonna have to be okay with that. And all this is just a huge traffic boost for Craigslist anyway. Since apparently the message from the police is, we can't stop it. So there you go. Just don't go, I beg of you. I beseech you, do not go to the Beaverton Budget Inn. The love of God. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, how about the attractive 70s track tome in Aloha?
No, do not go there either.
Well, the Dixie Chicks are sticking to their guns. They were on Larry King last night. And Natalie Maines reacts to reports that she's taking back her apology to President Bush for her 2003 remarks.
Well, I don't know if I'm taking it back, but I don't have any respect for the decisions he's made and where he has led our country.
Now, that's clearly an un-American attitude.
Well, the Dixie Chicks' latest album has debuted at the top of the Billboard 200. That in spite of a boycott by radio stations everywhere.
No, it's not a boycott. It's simply that
it's not a good song.
It's not a good song. We intend to play other songs.
No, because it's they wouldn't ban it, because that would be un-American. Mm-hmm. There's no, clearly, it's just that no one wants to purchase the record or hear the song in any way. There is no prima facie or empirical data or evidence to suggest that Americans want to hear the new Dixie Chicks records. If only... See, it's such a vague, amorphous concept, trying to, you know, figure out what audiences want, what kind of music and songs and singers they wish to hear. If only there were some sort of data. If only there was some sort of tracking system. If only there was some sort of hard news or statistical fact that we could point to find out whether or not Americans were really into the new Dixie Chicks record. Sadly, there seems to be no method by which we can track the sales of albums, the purchases of songs on the internet. Well, someday such an advancement will exist, and we will all be richer for it, my friends.
Meanwhile, Dixie Chick guitarist Emily Robeson discusses the intensity of the hatred, most of it generated by country radio, that put their lives in danger, following Natalie Maines' 2003 remarks about the president.
It wasn't a matter of, I'm not going to listen to you anymore, I disagree with you, I'm not going to buy your CD. Even, you know, coming to a show and holding up a sign, these are groups that are very well organized and basically want to either harm you or just ruin your career.
That would be the bowling... Country Music Association, disc jockeys and program directors.
Bowling league packing into a Winnebago and hauling their fat asses out to a Dixie Chicks concert to throw stones.
Natalie Maines talks about the difference in the American public sentiment between 2003 and now.
You know, I think everyone was really afraid after 9/11, and we're ready for someone to just take the reins and lead us to safety. And here was this person telling us he was going to do that. And so I kind of felt like, what country are we in? What year is this? Why aren't people questioning this person in charge? And so it's just nice to see Americans back to being what I always thought Americans were.
Not quite. There's still plenty of sheep who want to be led into a slaughter.
Okay.
Rick. Once again, the Dixie Chicks are number one without the help of country music radio.
We're all stunned by this news. Let's see. Rick, this email says, about spelling bees. Here we go. If we're the smart audience, how come we all lost at spelling bees? Just curious, Chris.
I didn't.
Neither did you. It's just you and Susan Reynolds at the top of the smart heap. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, the other big story today. Anna Nicole Smith has confirmed that she's pregnant. She did so in a video clip posted on her website, annanicole.com. I tried getting there earlier, but there was just no way. It says, quote, "Let me stop all the rumors. Yes, I'm pregnant. I'm happy. I'm very, very, very happy. Everything's going really, really, really good.
I'm on drugs.
And I'll be checking it up periodically on the web, and I'll let you see me as I'm growing."
That's what you like to hear. So any hope, here's really the bottom line, is that the whole legion of men out there all around my age who follow the sweet rise and sad decline of Anna Nicole Smith. Because somebody really ought to do one of those flash animation things. Like, did you ever see that thing that went around the web? It was like a shockwave video, and it was like the many stages of Britney Spears' breasts. And it was sort of, because Britney Spears has sort of Madonna-like cleavage in that you can't tell whether it's big or not. Some days it looks massive. Some days it looks very small. Some days perfectly proportioned. It really is, it's a miracle of engineering and technology that they're able to give her so many different looks. So it is with Anna Nicole Smith, because I remember when, and not even when, because she was a guest model, and then she was in Playboy. Was she ever the Playmate of the Year? Does anybody know?
I think so, yeah.
I think she might have been the Playmate of the Year. But the story we all heard, which we swallowed like so many goldfish in a fraternity ritual, we always heard that she had had no plastic surgery because she was a very well-endowed and massively proportioned woman. And so we always heard that it was completely natural. She didn't have any implants and everything else. And, of course, we found out that that was all crap. But remember, she was hot, and then she ballooned up and became become terribly unattractive. And then she slimmed down again. And first of all, she did that thing, that slim down, where she went from being really overweight to really thin in like an hour and a half, in a way that you know that there's just a big bag of skin somewhere, like in a doctor's office. There's a trash can full of Anna Nicole bits out back. And then she came back on MTV and she had those terrible, horrible implants when she was wearing like the masking tape over them. And so, but all the guys I know sort of cling to this hope, this vestige of optimism that she would somehow become attractive again. Those days are now gone forever since she is pregnant because, as Sarah herself has noted in her more candid moments, there's some things that never rejuvenate. There's some things that...
That never snap back?
Yes, meaning the youthful appearance of your face.
Absolutely.
And so forth. So, goodbye, Anna Nicole Smith. We knew ye well. Here's Tim Riley.
So, the father is rumored to be Larry Birkhead, who is not going to deny that he's the father, according to an official statement. Apparently, Nicole wants to take the thunder out of the official announcement from somebody else.
All right. Well, there you go.
So, I don't know who this Larry Birkhead fellow is.
I don't know. I have no idea. No, but everybody, Anna Nicole Smith, it's weird that sometimes you can spot how things are going to unfold in the future, because she clearly is on her way to becoming the Zsa Zsa Gabor of, like, 2046. You know what I mean? Because how old is she? 30-something now?
38.
She's about my age? Yeah, so it's, I mean, yes, you come back at 35 years, she's going to be the crazy fat woman, used to be hot, she wears a lot of bad costume jewelry and a tiny little pink dog on her lap. That's going to be it.
Meanwhile, Nick Lachey has a new girlfriend. The singer, who is currently divorcing Jessica Simpson, has been dating stylist Kim Kardashian for a month now. They were spotted holding hands on the way to the Da Vinci Code. They're both 32 and have one thing in common: failed marriages.
Excellent.
That guy is dating, like, seriously dating six different people.
Nick Lachey?
Oh, yeah, because it's reported that he's dating that VJ, Vanessa Milano.
No idea. A VJ from where? From MTV?
Yeah, from MTV.
Can I tell you, I don't remember, and this is not about me being old as such, this is me embracing the fact that I am of a certain age and demographic. I couldn't tell you, I could not give you the name of one VJ on MTV now. Not in any, because I just don't watch it. And I don't even think it's an age thing as such. It's like what I'll do is I got the TiVo and the cable, so there's that MTV Hits channel. And MTV Hits is the best channel because you get to watch all of the music videos without having to watch, like, all of the crap in between. So I couldn't, at a certain point, like, I don't know, like in the early 2000s, everybody on MTV, they all started having, like, weird apostrophes and periods in the middle of their name for no reason, and I just couldn't understand anything, so I just turned it off. I tuned in one day. The only guy who's still there is John Norris. John Norris is, like, 180 years old and is still dressing like he's 16.
Oh, yeah, he keeps dyeing his hair.
Yeah, why don't you...
It's embarrassing.
I want you to pull me aside someday. Here's the thing.
What about the corpse who used to do the news?
Kurt Loder?
Yeah, Kurt Loder.
He's still there.
Kurt Loder, glassy-eyed and stuffed-looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, Kurt Loder has been... You realize he's over 60 years old because he was... God, he was in his 40s, I think, when MTV went on the air, which is, what, 81, something like that?
81, 82.
81, 82?
Came on the same time as the Weather Channel.
Yeah, and I mean, he's just... And I interviewed Nina Blackwood, I don't know, a few years ago when I was doing the national show, because Nina Blackwood, and let me tell you, that's some wooden siding that needs repainting as well. She came in because she would do this absolutely 80s show, and it's so sad because I, like a lot of guys, man, it's like Man, I grew up with a huge crush on her. Not quite as much as the one I had on Martha Quinn, but still. Nina Blackwood, because she had the gravelly voice. And it's like, the gravelly voice is hot when you're a kid. When you're a guy, even now, I guess. You meet a woman, you know, like Lauren Bacall had that, right?
Yeah.
Lauren Bacall had that, you know, she had a certain rasp to it. And that's the thing that you find attractive, but... I don't know what it is. I think it's that there's certain things that you find attractive even though you know that the mechanism or the process that has led to that thing is eventually going to be the undoing. By which I mean, you get the gravelly voice because you smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day and drink whiskey out of a bell jar. And I'm not saying that Anita Blackwood spends her spare time. All I'm saying is, man, she was one of those when she came in and it's like Pigpen from Peanuts. She came in, just the cloud came with her, man. She could not be, she could lay off the cigarettes for a week and a half and she would still just have this haze that sort of encircles her head. Within 30 seconds of meeting me, she's looking at my hand, trying to figure out what my star chart is. And it's just, you know, I just politely excused myself as soon as possible. what was my point? Blah-da-da-blah, VJs, I don't know, screw it. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a Plattsburgh man is facing felony charges for allegedly striking his mother in the head after the two disagreed about the fate of the American Idol. According to court documents, 24-year-old Corey Favreau was discussing the television show with his mom, Jan, the night of the finale. Mom made some comments that contestant Catherine McPhee was going to have a successful career despite losing to Taylor Hicks. Well, her son allegedly stood up, made a malicious comment to his mom, and struck her in the head with a sharpened, cross-shaped object attached to a bicycle chain. The two had been drinking at the time. She was treated at PBSS Medical Center for a cut on the top of her head and was released.
Ain't that American? We have to break here. Who's coming up? Lisa Goddard?
She is.
Lisa, is she
live
at the spelling bee?
Spelling bee?
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about right there. Gripping radio on the way, kids. Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio later on. Gary Baumgarten from Manhattan will be joining us. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Top five Zeppelin guitar intros of all time. We'll talk more about Horns Across the Hawthorne, and we will have the worst song you've ever heard. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. You know, there's a frequent lament on this program, but I really wish more than anything that you could hear the conversations that happen immediately after the microphones are turned off and right before they are turned on. Like, phrase most frequently heard right before the microphone is turned back on. I don't know. I just have to wing it. Crap. Something's going wrong. Something's breaking. Something's on fire. There's some audio cut that's not in. We can't find a guest. The building is burning down. We're being overrun by Oompa Loompas. Just sort of, we have to punt. The things that happen immediately after the microphone is turned off, another story altogether. A story that decorum prohibits, it really stops me from mentioning it here. And also because we are about to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, a true broadcast professional, live from the Hill, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hello, how are you this Thursday?
I am fantastic, Lisa. How's life there?
Oh, it's great. Congress is gone. It's nice.
You really don't have any actual real work to do today.
No, somehow our government has found work for us to do. They have come up with problems and international crises.
Well, that's what they do. Their only skills are in the destructive column. So, but that is job security for you.
Right, exactly. I'm very happy about that.
Is it true that they've got you stashed at the spelling bee right now?
You know, I have been in and out of the spelling bee. I've been listening to it all day, but I'm at the Capitol right now.
And so we'll get back to the spelling bee in a second, I suppose. There is a couple real things kind of happening. First of all, and we've kind of touched briefly on this the last couple of days, just because apparently there's a big story. The Washington Post has this story this morning about this, this Haditha story. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
And this is, and we've been describing it, maybe you can tell me whether it's even right or not, this is a sort of Mili kind of thing, right?
This is a lot. That's really, in the last day, a lot of people have been using that exact phrase in comparison.
And Mili, of course, happened during the Vietnam War, where there was some American troops that killed an entire village full of civilians.
V8, that's right.
Yeah, and so this is, just kind of, if you can, just give us a thumbnail sketch of what we're talking about here, because it's one of those stories that have been floating by, and I don't think people have really been hearing about it past the headline.
Yeah, let's break down the facts. We know in November of last year, the military reported 24 civilians were killed in a roadside bombing and one U.S. soldier in this town of Haditha. Then, a few months later, Time magazine and some others started reporting that there were problems with the facts in the case. And then it came out that, in fact, most of the people killed had been killed by bullet wounds and had been shot to the head or to the chest, and that included many children. I believe right now we're looking at 5 children, also one man who it seems was in a wheelchair at the time. So at that point, the military in March of this year began its own investigation, began looking into it, and I believe that Secretary Rumsfeld found out about it also in March. So then recently we know that this investigation has been underway in the Pentagon, but in the last few weeks the Pentagon has been leaking more and more information. It seems as if they are heading toward a conclusion. And our sources are telling us that, in fact, it seems likely now that several Marines will be charged with murder in this case, that this does not seem like an unintentional casualty of war, but, in fact, this seems like an intentional killing.
Obviously we don't know, but I mean, what is the thing? Is the thinking that they were in the area and they just, it was,
yeah.
I mean, that it was, they were in the area and it was easier than relocating the people. I don't mean to sound flip about it, but I mean, what were they thinking went through their heads
right
before this happened?
There is no information about motive right now. And that's almost one of the worst things for the U.S. because it speaks to this image of Americans as, you know, shoot first, you know, ask questions later. It's not clear what a possible motive would have been, but we know that it did happen after there was an actual roadside bombing in which it does seem a soldier in their unit was killed.
Right.
After that, it seems the Marines went looking for whoever perpetrated this roadside bombing. And it was while they were on that mission, while they were on the hunt for that assailant, that this incident happened where 24 people, maybe a little less depending on how many died in the roadside bombing, were killed by gunfire.
Is it true? I'm reading this right off the CNN copy here that the top U.S. commander in Iraq today ordered all troops to undergo, quote, core values training. It really seems like if you have to be told that you shouldn't be gunning down a gaggle of civilians, that perhaps you ought not to be there in the first place.
Yeah, these are families who were in their homes, and believe it seems it was three different homes at least that were involved, different families. But that's right, the military in Iraq, the entire coalition, not just Americans, but of course Americans make up most of the coalition, is undergoing now this core values training, or really retraining. This is training that they were supposed to have had before they went to Iraq. Now the military, going back through, showing some slideshows, and in fact some videos, going through situations, of course, emphasizing that part of the military's duty, as the coalition sees it, is to protect civilians who are also in the battle, and to go after only those who are armed enemies of the coalition.
Oh, it's just a whole terrible situation. Ugh.
It's a very difficult story for the United States, and right now some Iraqi officials are supporting the United States in general, saying this does look like it's an exception, but of course this leads to bad stereotypes that have been out there before in the Arab world especially.
I'm not really sure that we need more help denigrating our image over there. So they have you back and forth between this is this the script?
A very strange contrast. Yeah.
So they have you covering this, and then they have you back and forth between this and the. Is it the Scripps National Spelling Bee that you're at?
National Spelling Bee. Yes.
Now this is who? Okay. Here's a question. This is a thing I hear every year. The Scripps National Spelling Bee. I don't know what a Scripp is. Who they are? What is a Scripp?
It started out because of the media company. That's really who found this. It was all
Scripps
the newspapers
Hour.
Around the country, one by one, started sponsoring different spelling bees. And Scripps was the company that got its name on the National Spelling Bee.
Right.
So that's how it evolved, because when it was just a newspaper company, not just publishing company.
And so if a kid wins the Scripps National Spelling Bee, it seems to me that they got it. The prize has to be pretty hefty to offset the beatings that they're going to get on the playground for the rest of their school lives.
$40,000.
Really? Is that like an act now? Is it $40,000 like actual dollars, or is this like $40,000 towards your school supplies in college?
There is some cash involved, but it is cash and scholarships. Mostly it is scholarship money.
Yeah. I'm looking at the list of words that have won here recently.
Yes.
Words, it does seem like maybe the bar is set necessarily low for words like knack, K-N-A-C-K. So did you know this too? Did you know that if you go to the spelling bee and they give you, I believe it is a homonym, which is a word that sounds like other words with different spelling, in other words, like cereal and cereal.
Right.
Did you know that it is incumbent upon you as the contestant to ask which version they're using?
That's right. Yes. Yeah, they just now had an example of that. I think it was Tureen. And the girl knocked it out of the park. She got it done. But I don't know if I would have gotten either version.
All right. So the question that we are asking everybody this week, in an effort to alienate and drive away all listeners within the Portland area, is do you remember a terrifying word that you lost a spelling bee with?
You know, I do remember losing a spelling bee, but honestly, I was more of a math geek.
So were you a mathlete?
I was a mathlete. I had a T-shirt.
Yeah. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
I'm not going to lie. How about you? Do you have a word?
Yeah, I lost in a restaurant. It's all very embarrassing. I don't like to talk about it. It's an exception to the rule. It drove me to become the fantastic speller and all-around mental whiz that I am today, Lisa Carter.
And stay away from managing restaurants, which is a tough business, so that's good.
Absolutely. All right, Lisa, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, you guys too.
All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard on the Hill in D.C. There you go. She had a Mathlete shirt. How badass is that? You will know, by the way, that I did not press her for a picture of her wearing a Mathlete shirt. That would just be weird and wrong.
Wow, we're very proud of you.
That's what I'm saying.
She's probably disappointed that you didn't know.
I showed restraint. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, shiver me timbers. Two pirate ships are sailing into Portland this afternoon, and they're going to be setting off their cannons just after passing under the Morrison Street Bridge.
What do you mean that it's a pirate ship?
These are pirate ships. Famous ones. One is the Lady Washington, which was seen in the original Pirates of the Caribbean. And the other is the Hawaiian Chieftain, which is featured in the upcoming TV movie Blackbeard.
So it's not like these aren't like real pirate ships. These are not
Johnny Depp is a real pirate in the eyes of many.
he buckles a swash with the best of them. So these, but I thought, it's not going to be like historic pirate ships that like they found, you know, like 100 years
these
ago or something.
These guns will billow flames and smoke over the river.
All right.
Now once the ships arrive, there's going to be free dockside tours and ticketed river sails for those wanting an up-close and personal experience. And the pirates are roaming around downtown, giving away stuff today.
Okay.
That's it. By the way, some of the other stuff opening today, of course, they have the Village Midway with all those toothless people running the rides.
I will not give the...
They have the green zone. Don't they have that in Iraq? I'm not sure if that's the same thing.
And it's just like a whole lot of guys with like bad stubble and wife beaters with their hand on the speed control for the tilt-a-whirl.
Mm-hmm.
Motion sickness cases off to the left and the vertigo cases off to the
smoking
right.
Smoking Lucky Strikes and smoking kids' faces.
Seriously, the best part about riding those rides is when you look down and you realize that the guy who is in charge of fixing all the rivets and bolts and running the speed has been... Speaking of speed, has been awake for like 3 days at a stretch because he's trying to get the ride assembled in time. And because he, and when you realize that that ride was assembled by the carnival company that is the lowest bidder. So.
And all the oil is dripping into the onion ring stand.
And he's fueled entirely by a diet of like Schlitz Light and funnel cakes. Rick, this is from someone who I will not name. Rick, what is the case number for 62806? That's when the person who hit Sarah's car goes. Is it to court or arraignment? What is it, the case?
Well, first you're arraigned.
No, they don't. Yeah.
I believe you're arraigned first. And then they set the date for the court thing. So they don't do everything all at once.
Well, they said they brought her in, and he said that he cited her for hit and run and for...
leaving the scene of an accident.
And for driving with a suspended license.
And leaving the scene of an accident, it seems to me.
Well, he said he didn't...
She didn't have a license?
I think it was suspended.
Was the car stolen, to the best of your knowledge?
It doesn't look that way.
Well, so somebody said, hey, you, was it...
It looks like...
was it a friend,
allegedly,
a family member?
Allegedly, it looks like it might be a family member.
Allegedly. just like a car. Allegedly is fine sometimes, but it doesn't seem like... It's not like the car allegedly hit you. I mean, your car
is
destroyed.
Or the family member allegedly lied.
Seriously.
Oh, that happened to me with a family member once. A guy came chasing me with a machete... And the mother hid the machete underneath the mattress and told the police he didn't have one.
Well, let's stop.
Oh.
Hold on. I'll take random crap that I didn't think I would be hearing today for $1,000, Alex. Jesus. How is it that you came to be chased with a machete?
Well.
it's this little pause that's the best. Well, it
all
1987.
I was house sitting for a friend in not a very good section of L.A. And we were... A crowd of us were dancing.
You're right.
And apparently it disturbed...
Everyone trying to conjure up this image, by the way, as we create the story.
Uh-huh.
What year would this have been?
This would have been 1988.
All right, so it's a whole lot of... So it's a lot of teal in the room, probably, and feathered hair. All right, so you're in a bad part of L.A.
Dancing.
Dancing. And then what happened?
We start to go out of the yard to get a pizza.
Right.
And... All of us, now this place is gated. You have to open up this big gate to get out.
Right.
All of a sudden, we see this huge fellow swinging a saber around, chasing us out of the courtyard.
He lived in the same complex?
Downstairs.
All right.
Apparently, he didn't appreciate the
dancing. He did not appreciate the dancing and the noise?
Right.
Yes, okay. And so his answer to that was, some folks call, some folks knock on the door. He went right for the saber, mm-hmm. right for the sword. All right.
So within like a foot of me, I managed to get the iron gate open and get us out, and I slammed it.
Okay.
Shut.
And then did you call the cops?
We did. And they arrived, believe it or not, in L.A. within 2 seconds. Well, they cordoned off this whole street.
Probably next door for something else.
So, of course, the guy went back into the house with a saber.
I don't have a machete. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. So they talked to the guy's mother, and she denied that he had one. They pulled up the mattress and found the machete there.
All right. So was he taken away and dealt with appropriately?
He was, and his bail was set at $10,000, so somehow they came up with it with a bondsman. The day that he was supposed to go to court, they found out he escaped to Mexico.
Uh-oh.
Where he remains on the lam, waiting to extract bloody revenge upon you, Tim Riley. Mm-hmm. I think the deal with bail is you only have to post 10% of it.
Well, see, I don't understand what I'm waiting.
Well, there were four of us, so he tried to behead four of us.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at the fact that a guy would try to behead you. No. I'm just saying.
Well, he was very serious about it. another split second, and I didn't open that gate to get it.
So this wasn't like I'm trying to scare you. This is like I'm trying to sever your head from your body.
He did not like dancing.
You think he could just sever your feet then? You know, just get all Annie Wilkes on you. No, I think the deal is I've only been arrested once, and I don't think I had bail. I can't remember, actually, because it was such a minor offense. I think the deal is when you're arrested, the bail is whatever. It's like 100 grand, but I think if it's 100 grand, you only have to post 10.
So what's the difference between she was cited. So what does that mean?
They stared at her.
I don't know. I think cited is when she's been accused of the crime, and then she has to go to court and be arraigned, and then there'll be a trial, maybe? I don't know.
Right, you're arraigned, and the trial date is set.
Oh, we've got felons in the audience. So somebody call and tell
us.
Yeah,
because if she told the police yesterday that she did it, will that be the same story that she gives in court?
And she's deeply stupid. Did she confess to it?
She confessed to it.
The oldest. They probably lied and said they had evidence.
Well, I had a really solid witness who I had photographic evidence of her from MySpace.com. That my friend could identify her from that picture.
Here's the thing, and I'm not saying that was the case here because I don't know all the ins and outs of the whatnot. But the first thing, I read this great book by David Simon. It was actually a book. It was called Homicide, and he spent a year with the Baltimore Homicide Division. It's actually this nonfiction book that they based the TV series on. Great book. Anyway, but he talked to all these cops, and those cops are the first thing they do. Like, no matter what they pick you up for, but murder, shoplifting, whatever, they pick you up, they throw you in the room, they shut the door, they sit down on the opposite side of the table, and they go, "Now look, we've got film of this and five eyewitnesses, so why don't you just tell me why you did it?"
Jack Webb used to do
that. It's always a lie. Always. They never have evidence. But, of course, what happens? They say it, and you just fold like a bad cardboard box. "We have evidence. I'm sorry." And you just immediately begin weeping like a small girl.
Yeah, I mean, she gave, yeah, because he told me the reason why she said that she left the scene of the crime. So she said that she did it, but and she left because she was with someone she wasn't supposed to be.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
I'm just speculating. You don't have to tell me if this is right or wrong. Was she...
What a tangle web she weaves.
Was she with a man from the wrong side of the tracks? Somebody that maybe Mumsy and Dadsy wouldn't approve of?
It sounds like she got somebody to cross over to the wrong side of the tracks.
Seriously.
So she was cited, but if she admitted to it, I'm like, why is she going to court? Is she going to court to find out what she has to pay?
Let's find out, shall we? Hi, Rick Emerson Program. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Don.
Hi, Don. How can I help you today?
I can explain to Rick what being cited means.
All right, so this is now, Don, this is Rick. Now, are you a felon, Don?
No, I'm a police officer.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Excellent. All right, so what happens? So let's say...
Let's
say theoretically, some drunken nitwit slams a car into somebody else's car, runs away, and is then apprehended. They get set. What is the process? But here's what I want to know, Don. How many opportunities are we going to have to go to court and heckle? That's really what I want to boil it down
all,
to.
It all depends on the DA.
All right.
Multnomah County, you have no jails, and you have no DA's office because of budget cuts. So this is a low, low-level thing, and they'll probably try to plea bargain it out, or it'll probably never go to court because they don't have the money prosecute it.
Is this going to be one of those stories where we're on here doing a talk radio program talking about criminals are being given a slap on the wrist and set loose to walk the streets of Portland?
Well, see, in Portland, the cripple being given a slap on the wrist would be considered cruel and unusual punishment, so they won't do that.
Fantastic.
But anyway, being cited is there's no room in the jail, so they give you basically a traffic ticket and tell you to show up on a certain date at a certain time.
So what can they do to her then if she's admitted to this crime and she's showing up at the court date?
Out on the original court date what the DA and everybody has in mind. You know,
she
can get a lawyer, and you know, the first appearance there won't be any plea deal. It'll probably be the second or third.
Right.
But she'll get into the system. She'll enter a plea, guilty or not guilty. Then they'll take it from there.
They always plead not guilty, right? That's the thing. You should always plead not guilty.
If you know the system, of course you plead not guilty.
But if she already admitted
guilty,
it.
What if she admitted it to the cop who was picking her up?
Yeah, while she was cited yesterday, what if she admitted it?
I was scared and I didn't know what I was doing and I really didn't mean it.
So I was out of my head. Yeah.
Yeah, tap tap, I get a freebie. So.
So really, if things work out well for this woman, she could be hitting cars again by like next week.
Hey, let me tell you, they do it every day. You know, if she doesn't hit them, she can go out and steal them every day, and she can play bumper car all the time if she wants.
You know,
in our illustrious court system, we'll do nothing.
You're listening to the Lars Larson Show. Thank you for joining us. All right, Don.
Let me tell you, I do this every day, and it's just truly a revolving door. You see the same people every day doing this stuff, and it's a property thing. Again, if the insurance company's going to cover it, the DA is going to cut a deal.
Dude, I got to tell you, it's like the reason I could never be a cop is I have so little faith in humanity now, but the tiny little pinprick of light in my soul would probably vanish like my third day on the job.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
They extinguish it in a matter of days. Your love for humanity goes out the door, except for the people that truly need your help, and then you really take them into your heart. But,
good times. All right.
And the city of Portland is just into a world all of its own, and nobody operates like the city of Portland does.
This really is a city both above and below the law, then.
Oh, it's insane. Right. The system they've got working here, it's a Rubik's Cube of of criminal justice.
So, but it works out well if you like to destroy things. So.
Oh, if you're a criminal, it works out well because, you know, you can be arrested and arrested and arrested and have stacks of warrants and they never touch you.
So really, the great thing about this is, though, this woman could, she could be endless show prep in the future as well.
Oh, sure, yeah. You guys can make a career out of this lady.
Fantastic. All right, well, Don, thank you for calling. Stay safe out there, and thank you for listening, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there you go. That's Don, a police officer here in Portland, Oregon.
There's a long waiting list for digital cable in these country club jails.
All I know is they get three hots and a cot. How's your day going?
I feel icky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what happens in the People's Republic of Portland.
That's what happened when liberals and homosexuals run this country. That's what happened. Oh, speaking of which, we got many requests to replay yesterday's campaign ad by that guy Vernon Robinson. He's running for Congress in North Carolina. We'll play that, and then we got a new one by him. It's a brand new one that this guy Steven sent to us, and they're real. We'll do that. Let's do a couple more here, then we'll break. Jen Lane's coming up later on. We got the top five. Gary Baumgarten, all of that, more phone calls. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Dateline, Homer, Alaska. Michael McCoven is recovering from wounds to his neck, ear, torso, and shoulder after surprising a bear while jogging. Bear officials say he did the right thing by curling up into the ball when the grizzly attacked. Doctors took 11 hours to clean the wounds, staple his neck back on, and reattach his ear.
Sounds like he barely made it through.
Packs of wild feral pigs, once confined to isolated population centers in central Oregon, have been spotted in 9 counties across the state, from Brookings to the Blue Mountains. The pigs wreak havoc on farms and forest lands, and they cause an estimated $800 million worth of agricultural damage annually.
We got this. Rick, how about a wet mathlete shirt contest? Maybe Lisa got... Okay, I'm not going to read anymore. We're just going to move on. Let's see. We got this. Rick, holy crap, you are right. Kurt Loder is 61 years old. I would never, ever, ever have guessed that. I have been told... I'm not saying that, you know... Look, I know that we all age, but I remember when I talked to Nina Blackwood, like, I asked her, I'm like, what's Kurt Loder? Because I'm a total fanboy for Kurt Loder. I've loved that guy forever. And I used to read his reviews in Rolling Stone and all of that. And so my first question to her is like, hey, what's it like to work with Kurt Loder? And I think the actual phrase was that he looked like the corpse of a drag queen that they actually had to, quote, embalm every day, and that she thought his eyes were probably fake too. So there you go. And you watch MTV with that thought in your head, you can really see it. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it wasn't exactly a discreet gift. When a 16-year-old high school student arrived home recently with a 2002 Mercedes, his mother demanded to know where he got it. Well, the police recounted the episode, and the youth said the car was a present for the mother of two teenage girls he knew, and added he planned to work for her. His mother was suspicious that something more was involved, so she called the police. After an investigation, they accused the youth's benefactor, 39-year-old Lisa Fondetto, of having a series of sexual encounters with the boy. She's arrested on two counts of rape and two counts of criminal sexual acts, each count carrying a maximum penalty of 4 years in prison. Of course, she'd get a slap on the hand if it happened here.
Here in liberal Portland, Oregon. Let's see. What else do I have here? Let's see. Steven Seagal news here. We've got some more of these horns across the Hawthorne news we got to get to. We've got more of your phone calls. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break.
I got a couple of quick ones here. Well, all the president's men have told him, you really can't go around bombing Iraq, so you better learn how to talk to them. Or Iran.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, this is
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
And our message to the Iranians is that, one, you won't have a weapon, and two, that you must verifiably suspend any programs, at which point we will come to the negotiating table to work on a way forward.
Okay, here's what's happening with this Iranian thing.
Nobody will lend us the money at a competitive rate. Basically.
No, here, I can, you know what it is? I can tie it in, I can make it both local and relatable. Here's the thing with Iran. Because I'm getting all these emails right now about this woman, who, criminal, that hit Sarah's car, allegedly. And I'm getting a lit like this. Rick, cited equals ticketed and released. She promised to show up to court. No one will actually check to see if she's going to do that. These are, by the way, people who work for the city, who are emailing me this, saying, you know, it's like a 50-50 chance whether she appears at all.
Well, you know what? It's her bad karma. As long as her insurance covers the damage to my car.
Karma.
Let's all feel the hate right now.
So, you know what? If she...
I like how we're over here going, well, the alleged criminal and the woman who supposedly tipped, hang her! So Tim's over there sharpening a knife, getting rid of this.
Ever since I moved to the suburbs, I've become a little more conservative than when I lived here in town.
But this is what we're doing with Iran. With Iran, we are citing them. We are ticketing them and releasing them. That's all it is. Because correct me, I should have asked Lisa Goddard this. I'm too busy talking about the mathlete shirts and spelling bees. Is it not true that we are going over to Iran, and Iran is... Because Iran, they are sort of the new Baghdad Bob. Do you remember that guy who was the Minister of Information, the propaganda minister for Iraq?
Oh, he was terrific.
I miss that guy. Whatever happened to him? And I mean this sincerely. This is not a rhetorical question. If somebody knows what happened to the guy, they just called him Baghdad Bob. I forget his real name. I believe he is the character that Michael Keaton interacts with in the HBO film Live from Baghdad, if anybody's seen that. But there was this guy in Iraq, and you all remember these photos on television, where, like, literally, the tanks are rolling behind him in the background. Like, he's there at a podium. In the background, tanks rolling by, buildings on fire, American fighter jets strafing the city with napalm, and he's there going, the Americans are nowhere near Baghdad. They will all die, destroyed and agonized in the pit stomach of a great demon dragon. You know, and he's... They're there handcuffing him and taking him away. And he's like, the Americans are nowhere near the glorious Republic of Iraq. You know, President Saddam remains in power. And he's like in a jail cell. Iran is the new Baghdad Bob, because I saw that guy from Iran. Is it a Shah or an Ayatollah? It's an Ayatollah?
He's an Ayatollah.
Anyway, so I saw the guy, I told him Iran, and he's doing the whole, like, you will die like motherless dogs, you know, And we're just going over there going, well, look, you really got to stop this nuclear. We will stop nothing. Well, okay. You know, and then we leave. Like, apparently we only have two options with Iran, which is tongue lashing or nuclear weapons.
Here's the problem. You know, we tried to stabilize Iraq, which is the size of California, with the soldiers equal to the population of Salem, Oregon,
right,
which really didn't work out. And there just aren't enough to send over there.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. How about this? We'll just read this final email, and then we got a break here. We're so behind time.
All right.
Did we do all the sound?
I got one more about
caskets. Let's do this, then.
All right. The state of Missouri is clearing the way for sale of caskets in retail stores. The State Board of Embalmers and Funeral Directors acknowledged last month in a consent judgment that it has no authority to regulate the sale of caskets.
You don't need a funeral director's license to sell what amounts to no more than a wooden box.
We should totally sell caskets. Gene Simmons can do it, we should do it. We should totally sell a, hold on, casket, coffin.
Casket world?
A casketeria. There's, you know, there is. Have you seen in Seattle? There is that place called, like, Cascadagogo or whatever. It's right by the Oboy Oberto smoked meat outlet store. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Somebody's seen it. In Seattle, there is an Oboy Oberto smoked meat outlet store, which Tim Riley has never seen, and which Sarah has never seen.
And I lived in Seattle.
Across the street from it, it's like sausage place, and then literally right next door, it's called, like, Cascatorium. I think it is called the Cascatorium. Anyway, Gene Simmons can do what we could do. What we call it? Called a cough casket, a tisket, a casket. There's something. There's something there. Well, anyway, let me read this email, then we will break. We're so behind. Here, coming up, by the way, we got Jim Roop. Top 50 conservative rock songs, according to the National Review. Top 5 Zeppelin guitar intros. Jan Lane's going to be. We got Horns Across the Hawthorn. We're going to talk about that. Dude, stop the presses, this says. You need to be on the phone now. Booking the CNN mobile satellite dish trucks to be in front of the courthouse for Sarah's big court appearance. What better way to broadcast across this fair land to the far reaches of the American hinterland with you and Sarah and Tim at the breaking at the center of breaking news from Portland, Oregon, in the shadow of the mighty coin tower. This guy suggests that we should do our show from outside the courthouse that day. That's a fantastic idea. Right there on the steps.
We'll have to kick out the panhandlers.
Steps. Clear out the rabble. The young punks that won't get a job.
Well, it should be nice by then. It'll be the end of June.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. There you go. We could probably get it sponsored. We could get it sold right now.
Well, you know,
Be on the phone to Viso Beverages.
You know that if we plan something, she won't show up.
Yeah.
You know it. That's just what would happen.
All right.
It's her loss.
Let's break now.
She could be a radio star.
She already is. It's the Rick Emerson. We're going to break. Back by a few minutes after the hour here. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We will continue. And so forth. And whatnot. AM 970 Solid State Radio. We return after this. Don't go anywhere.